I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Yeah, it's your boy John Doe. You know what time it is, baby. It's Chocolate City Radio.
Hey, what they do, man? It's your homeboy Blood Raw Chickadee, you feel me? B Raw Steam, Mr. Motherfucking Rick Flair, jumping off the dresser that he is. Now tell me, right now you chillin' with my home girl, Chuck Mommy. You feel me on Chocolate City Radio? Yeah, this shit about to get real wet, homie. Now tell me.
What's happening? This is your man Money D, representing Mask and Digital Underground. And when I'm not having unprotected sex with your mama, I'm chilling out, riding a chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. You know how we do. We be killing them.
You're listening to The Vibes right now, hosted by the goddess, the queen, my babes, Chalk Mommy. And all of us right now, we all ride in the chocolate wave, because that's the only wave to ride on, isn't it? It's your boy Dylan Dillinger cruising. Let's get it. Boom, bang.
Tony Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? This goes out to all my humans. Right now, you riding the wave right here on Chocolate City Radio, motherfuckers. And I'm the one and only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? Right here with Chalk Mommy. That's what we do. We get it in, all right? You see me.
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Danny D. Just coming in to let y'all know that I love riding the chocolate wave with my favorite radio host, Chalk Mommy.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What up? This is your boy Noah Jones, Mr. Get With The Movement or Move It himself. And right now I'm riding the chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. Holla at your boy.
Listen to that baby making music.
Hey, this is Vin Keaton, and I'm chilling with Chalk Mommy on Chocolate City Radio, the illest sex talk show.
We can do it all night long.
Hey, yo, what's good, Ja? This is Dude Stylistic. And right now, I'm riding a chocolate wave with my homegirl, Chalk Mommy. Let's get it!
What's up, y'all? This your boy, Carter B of 4Play Media Group, and I'm riding a chocolate wave with the Chalk Mommy herself.
What it is, man? Hey, this your boy's Cloud9 right here. You know what I'm saying? And what we doing is we riding the chocolate wave. Hey, got our motherfucking goggles on and everything. Let's do it. Hey, Chalk Mommy, fuck with your boys, man. Cloud9. Yo.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
This evening's edition of Chocolate City Radio.
This is your girl, Chalk Mommy. I have Ashton Live on the line, and this is supposed to be the follow-up to Tuesday's show. So, I'm going to bring her in, and we're going to recap what you missed Tuesday. Hey, girl.
Hey, lady. How you doing?
Man, I am so tired. Like, this week has been like a long-ass week for me, right? And what happened was today I took my son to school and I came home and I took a nap and I did not get out of the bed till like 3-4 o'clock this afternoon. My kids kept calling me and waking me up. They was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm all right." Because last night I had a friend that came over and all we did was look at the basketball game and then look at a little bit of VH1 and then he went home. You know what I'm saying? So it was like just like some hanging out kind of shit. Shit that I normally don't do. But I said I was going to do a lot of different shit in 2013. So I'm going to be more visible, hang out with some friends and stuff like that, actually date, you know, do all the fun shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
So today is the follow-up show to Monday. We had a situation that happened in my hometown on Monday, and it was really sad. Now, I don't want people to think that I'm a racist or anything, because I'm not, but it's just very rare that black people go so far off the map, you know what I'm saying? So, when I was taking my my son to school, I seen like two unmarked cars and a marked car flying really fast opposite direction of the highway that I was going on. So they were responding to a call, and it was a shooting. Four people had been shot, a lady, the man, and two kids. So my brother was telling me that his friend was, she's the surgical assistant, so she was operating on them, you know what I'm saying? And Jerry, I'm bringing you in next. It was like, so I'm thinking, he was like, man, she was like, two people died and two people were seriously injured. So when I go to the doctor, it's like, when I ask my brother about the person in surgery, I was like, how did he turn out? And he was like, you know, basically two live, two die, but the dude is never going to be the
same. Got eight.
It's like, he has no dick, he has no balls. She shot him in his shit. So then when I'm at the doctor's office for my last visit, the news people show the picture, right?
Uh-huh.
And the chick was black. I was like, what in
the hell?
She died and her son died. So the guy, I'm assuming was her boyfriend because I don't think it was her husband, and the daughter lived, and word was, the dude was fucking the daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
So
oh, my goodness.
I can see where the shooting the dick part came in. But
right.
Command for you to wake up and then you see that, I'm like, wow. So I was tripping off that. And then, you know, we had the Tuesday show that was crazy and everything like that. Hey, Jerry, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fine. You listening to that story, huh?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah, wow. He should have got his shit shut off. Oh,
but,
sorry.
I mean, women go, you know, do great lengths to remind you that your dick belongs to them. I've heard getting hot oil thrown on it. Hot goods.
But
to be shot plane off, I've only seen that in the movies.
But in the movies, just like boom, but like he has nothing. Like when my brother was like, there's nothing there. So, you know, my thing is, and I'm going to have to do a show about that, is, you know, I can understand you being mad at the man and doing what you do to your man, but you shot your own kid.
How old was her daughter?
Her daughter was 18, and her son was 16. She was critically injured, and the son, he died.
Why was he shot?
She shot everybody in the house, including herself.
Oh, my goodness.
So her and her son died, and then died in the...
Excuse me. Sorry.
So I'm like,
wow.
That's something serious. Tuesday show was very interesting. It was very interesting and very, very. Even down to the end when we got kicked off. for future references, managers, when you're calling into a radio show, please try to sound enthusiastic about your artist.
Oh, wow.
Please sound like you believe in them, even if you don't. Be hyped up, because if not, you never know who's listening and who's going to rip you a new asshole.
Matter of living habit.
I'm so bad that I had to send him a text message on the side. Like, I'm sorry. But, I mean, I understood her point. And, you know, somebody was saying that tonight would be perfect to, you know, talk about artist manners and approach. Because a lot of people don't know how to approach the right people. And the mannerism of artists is just really retarded. Like, they really don't know what the fuck they're doing. I get approached in crazy ways when it comes to music. It comes to projects and stuff like that. And what I'm learning is a lot of artists don't read, can't read, or won't read.
Oh, no.
Even when you put it in their face with what you want them to do, the protocol to how to reach you, how to submit stuff, they still will not, they still won't do it. And for me, what's a pet peeve is when an artist sends me music, you want me to listen to your shit. So why in the fuck are you sending me a link to where I have to go search and find your shit? I'm doing you a favor. You're not doing me a favor.
True. That's real.
That's real. When it comes to submissions and you lay everything out, because I like to be a very detailed person because I hate emails. I hate for you to email me when I've laid step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many steps laid out for you to do what you need to do for submitting mixtape songs, music on the radio, or anything. And it's just, it's sad because it tells me that you really don't care enough to read instructions to help yourself, but you feel like somebody owes you or somebody should go searching for you. And it doesn't work that way.
Nope. Round 5. If you don't follow instructions, give me what I asked for in the first place, and I really don't feel it. Yeah.
And then I try to be courteous. I will send back an email and tell them why I'm not fucking with them. And it's because A, B, C, D, whatever. And then they'll send me something back like, well, I sent this person this and they didn't have a problem with it. I'm like, well, the person that you had had searching for your shit should have told you back then that that's not professional. You don't send a professional person links to go find your shit and search your shit. I'm not about to download a whole fucking mixtape and I don't know you. Send me an MP3 version of the hottest track that you're trying to push or that you feel is going to, give people an idea of who you are.
At least a SoundCloud link. I do SoundCloud link.
Mixcloud, SoundCloud, but when you're talking about SynthSpace and they got all kinds of little spammy shit, and I don't even know what you sound like, and I have to download your garbage to my fucking hard drive? Fuck out of here. No. I will be mad as hell, and I will put the artist on blast. Like, why in the fuck would you have me download that shit?
Wow.
That irks me. And, you know, it's time for me to get ready to do another mixtape, and... You know, I don't want artists to take this the wrong way, but I only like doing R&B mixtapes because the R&B artists seem to be more appreciative and they work hard. They will promote their song, they will promote the project, and they call in when they hear that you're playing the mixtape. Doesn't matter what song is playing, they call in to support the project. So I have no problem dealing with R&B artists because after I've done that, then I can sit there and put them in the magazine, put them on the site, and blast them off, and I don't have a problem with that. Now, I did a hip-hop rap mixtape, and I would have to say those was the laziest bunch of artists I've ever dealt with, except for one or two. California Fig was the only one that super stood out, had his promo team pushing that shit. He hit me in my DM. Every time I turn around, he's tweeting, he's retweeting. He was really on it. But everybody else, the ball, it's like they dropped the ball. And then it's like you didn't even have to pay to be on the mixtape. So what's wrong with putting in a little work to retweet your shit or to push your shit? I gave you the platform. I gave it to you for free. I gave you the exposure for free. So what else am I supposed to do?
You've done it all. I mean, if an artist doesn't appreciate something that they got for free, then, you know, you just don't fuck with them the next time. That's real talk. But, well, it's always, if they have to pay for something, they're more appreciative. If they have to promote something that they got for free, that they're really just taking it for granted anyway, because they devalue in the project that they're on. And just don't deal with them. I don't deal with mixtapes.
And that is I'm sorry, that is just something that baffles me. Or, you know, when I say R&B artist, I'm looking for tracks for an R&B mixtape. A rap artist will send me a rap song with the rapper singing, with an R&B singer singing a hook. That's not what the fuck I asked for, no rap at all. You see what I'm saying? And then, yeah. It's like, you know, in honor of everybody taking out their time on the show on Tuesday, you know, I was like, you know what, this is what I'm going to do for artists. I decided that until the end of February, until February the 1st, February the 9th, yes, February the 9th or February the 8th or whenever I did the promo, that for $150, I was going to give them a site interview, two songs on the radio rotation, two songs promoted, and a video, and all of that for a month. Now, let's see how many artists take advantage of that. Because I even showed them my stats for my reaches and everything like that and my numbers to see. And I even put all the numbers of how many followers I had on all the social networks that I deal with so they can see the balance. And it's going to be funny because a lot of artists will not pay attention to that and then always be wanting me to cut a deal. And for me, for that right there, that's a whole lot for $150.
Yeah.
For a whole month. And your shit is going to be going out every 3 to 4 hours. You're going to reach a whole new fan base that you never thought possible. Because a lot of them motherfuckers got about less than 3,000 to 4,000 followers or fans. So people are going to go listen to your shit, read your shit, look at your shit, and wonder who you are. And then when you don't take advantage of situations that are given to you, you wonder why you can't make it. You wonder why people don't fuck with you. Or you wonder why people tell you that you need to get your mind right.
Mm-hmm. Giving up a lot for free. That's a good package. That's a good deal.
I thought about it. After you stopping what you're doing, and Rikers and Ant, and even Ashton, you know, I'm like, let me give something back. Let me give something back that's going to make people be like, well, damn, you know? And so I have devoted my weekend, or I've decided that this weekend I will put it out there so, you know, everybody that may not see it will be able to see it. Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, everything. So it's like, I'm just like, let's see if artists, like, really take advantage of it, because it's 2013. If you've been doing the same shit for the last 3-4 years and you're not going anywhere, maybe it's time you rethink your game plan or ask yourself, why am I still in the same stagnant place and everybody else around me is growing and going somewhere? Because, yeah, like if Trinidad James, who they say has been rapping for 2 months, can get a $2 million deal off some bullshit all gold everything, y'all really need to ask yourselves what the fuck is wrong with y'all.
He's been rapping more longer than that. I put up that all gold anything video on the Hype magazine site in like October. Something like that.
Okay.
He's been around for a minute.
Serious.
Yeah, but he still hasn't been around, you know, there are a lot of people out there that have been 10 years in the game to become an overnight success, and this guy really is this is the closest thing that we could call an overnight success. You know, he's been around for a few months, but he's so different, and you know, he got in at the right time when everybody decided to go, I would say, ratchet. And I mean, you watch his video, ghetto fabulous.
That video has you being like, what in the fuck? Mm-hmm. And then somebody even did a parody of his song, All Ashy Everything, you know? And that video got just as many views as the red one. And it's somebody that's looking just like Trinidad James, but he's ashy. His feet is ashy. Everybody in the fucking video is ashy. He's riding around on a bike. I mean, he's mimicking the video, and it's funny. But it's just like, okay, I guess every time, you know, it's like something new, a breath of fresh air. Different can be good, and different can be bad. But in his case, different was good in the tune of $2 million.
Right.
Good for his bank account. It's still garbage. It's still garbage.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll say it on air. It's garbage.
And I thought it was a spoof myself. Somebody was telling me, no, that's the real thing. And if you want to see the spoof, here are the spoofs. and they were like pretty much similar. But I really thought this man was really trying to play, you know, Trinidad. Like, trying to make it like a gang thing. And then the gold shopping cart, it was just like too much for me. I mean, this can't be serious.
I mean, we can tell that he really don't give a fuck about his image. And my thing is, with the $2 million, are you going to fix the grill that you were showing off so lovely?
Oh.
My thing is, I think it's a, you know, he has this persona, and I believe, strangely enough, it's a purposely cultivated persona.
Yeah.
And he is the epitome of what they're calling ratchet. I'm just like, wow. You know, shit, 5 years ago, ratchet was just discussing, you know, hood rat female. Now it's everybody, which, you know, is acceptable, in my opinion. You know, because, shit, if you hood rat, you hood rat, male or female. And ratchet is just another version of that. Just change the language, but he's, oh man.
But if he could do it, anybody can do it.
Well,
you gotta have that dedication, I guess.
There was some anybody doing it before he got there. I mean, he's not the first garbage rapper out there. You know what I mean? And that's making a big dent and getting paid big. And the music industry is cultivating that. You know, they want to send you back to the Step and Fetch It era. You know what I mean? Where you got bug eyes and big lips. And that's what they, I mean, it's a return. There's the change in images and psychological slavery that people are not picking up on right here. You know what I mean? The big deal, Mr. Bojangles and a bunch of other nonsense way back when in the black and white era, you know what I mean? And it's going right back to that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The lower they can make us think and have us accepted, then our expectations in the end become lower as a general rule, you know, and music does set a tone for culture. It's not culture that sets a tone for music. You know what I mean? So, it is what it is.
And so, it's like, Jerry, when you're approached for articles and features in the magazine, like, how do people come at you? Because, I mean, you get a lot of crazy stuff.
Oh man, I get it on Twitter. I really need to be in a Hype magazine, or you need to feature me for shows. You know,
you need to.
I need to. Hold up, man. Yeah.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm not evil about it. I'm just like, I send back a simple question. Why? You know what I mean? You don't have a website. Are you showing me your YouTube page on your profile? I can't find anything about you. Why should I feature you? Why should I feature you? You know, what have you done? What kind of work have you put in? I mean, as opposed to someone like, let's just say, War Child, who's out there. He's from Philly, lives in Miami, grinding like 90 going north, you know what I mean, putting in work. Or even a dude like Riff Raff, who, you know, calls himself the hip-hop Martin Lawrence. And dude is funny as hell, but he's out there working, you know what I mean? So here's someone who I haven't even said hello to me. I just get this tweet, oh, you need to feature me in the Hype magazine. Nah, I don't think so, player. You know, you got to tell me why. Prove yourself. I'm not saying, you know, that we're unapproachable, because we're not. But that's usually how it comes. You know what I mean? Or what do I need to do to, you know, get featured in your magazine or on the blog or something like that? And I just tell them, you know, here you go. You know, submit your assets over here. And that's it. But I mean, you know, besides check out my shit and watch my video and new song, won't waste your time. I can't tell you how many times I have actually followed a link and, you know, wished I could get a refund on my time, but I can't. So, you know, I just, you know, talk about the weirdest. I mean, it's not weird. It's pretty much normal now. You know, check me out. So, do you need a drop for your max? Why do I need a drop? I'm not a radio show.
Oh, you know
what I mean,
shit.
What do I? You know, give me a break. But and who are you that you do a drop for me in the first place would do me any good? Unless we decide to do a mixtape or something like that, which is not our lane. You know, we're a magazine. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't really get too much weird shit. You know what I mean? I get people that hijack my tweet conversation, my Twitter conversations, though, which annoys me to no end. You know, shouting somebody out, or I might be having a conversation with you, Chop, and somebody will jump in there, you know, and hit me. And plus, you check out a new video, new mixtape. I don't care. I don't mean to be evil, but I really don't care. Approach me professionally, you know what I mean? Hey, how you doing? Say hi. Let me know something about you. And the fact that you have a mixtape is not something that's life-changing for me, you know, or even just enough for me to perk my ears up. I mean, I'm an editor of a magazine. I have a lot to do, and certainly chasing down links, as you said earlier, or, you know, watching a plethora of good videos, you know, or listening to some $5 Fruity Loop songs. That's not what I need to do.
And then that goes back to the mannerism and how you approach somebody.
Yeah, say hi first. How about that? I mean, that's what social media is for. The key word is social. You know, hello, how you doing? Like what you got going on? You know, my links are in my bio. Go to the freaking link, see what we write about, see if you would even fit, you know, with what we've got going on, and then approach, you know, hey, I like, you know, the Hype magazine, or check out what we publish our editorial calendar. It's in the media kit, so you know, if you've got something coming, you know, dropping in August, and it fits the editorial calendar, the theme of the magazine, then, you know, shoot a pitch, and that's the way it should go. Not just, you know, check me out. No, you know, no. I don't want to be approached like that. You know, don't know who I am. Don't know really anything about my outlet, and or what we write, the style that we write. You know, if they did, then they would understand that they're not stepping to, you know, some rag from around the corner. They're stepping to a national magazine, and they need to approach you, you know, in a business-like manner. Be social. Say hi. I talk to people all the time. I mean, that's how I got to know you. You know?
Yeah.
Get hi on Twitter. you know. And that was that, you know, did a little investigation. I'm quiet. I sit back and look and watch. And you know, we really do watch people and see how they're moving. And people follow me. And before I follow back, I usually look at their profile. I don't really care how many followers they have. I don't care about that part. But, you know, do you have a website? If it's an artist, you know, do you have a website? Because I know what's coming next, you know. I know what's coming next, you know. They think they're doing me a favor by following me. Oh, follow for follow. You gonna follow back? Why? I didn't solicit you to follow me. I'm not better than anybody else, but, you know, I don't think it should be. You know, I've got 100,000 followers. I can't follow all them people. And if I did, I couldn't talk to all of them.
Exactly. You know? So you're like, what the hell are you
going to
say?
You know what I mean? I could only hear and see, check it out so much. You know, I blank that shit out now. You know? And like I said, I'm not unapproachable. I just like to be approached in a professional manner. You know, pitch me, find out. You know, asking the question, how can I be featured in magazines? That's a good question. You know what I mean? Submit your stuff. Okay, thank you. That's fine. I don't need another 20-minute conversation about, you know, you trying to sell me and continue to try and pitch me on Twitter or something like that. You know, if people would hit me, I talk back. You know what I mean? I do talk back when I can. And, you know, it's just about professionalism. If you have a manager or a PR person, let that person do the talking for you. It's okay for you to say hello or whatever and see if we're approachable, but that's their job, you know. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to be, you know, much more in tune with how to deal with someone from the media or the radio or DJ, you know what I mean? They understand how to approach and start a conversation. That's what they do. You know, you can't, you know. I have one conversation. Now, I mean, can I get your phone number? No, Negro, you may not have my phone number. I do not wish for you to be calling me. No. I really need to chop up some business with you. I've made that mistake. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, all right. And then you end up spending an hour listening to, you know, someone sell themselves. Could have done the same thing in a brief email and might have got a better return on your investment. And certainly not wasted mine. But now I have a check mark. I don't deal with this person. And don't answer the phone. I haven't changed my number or anything, but I won't answer the phone. It's like, oh. That's it for me, man.
Sorry about that. My daughter was calling. And see, that is really good. And I just tweeted that you're on here, and you're giving up some good knowledge. And that's the thing that just trips me out, how people don't take advantage of what's here for them. And they be the first ones bitching and crying about why shit isn't going their way.
Yeah. Well, you know, like they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, they want to do things their way. That's fine. You can do it your way and see how far that gets you. If you want to, you know, conduct business and be perceived as a professional, then you have to conduct yourself in a totally different manner. Some of them aren't prepared for that. Or maybe they're intimidated saying that, you know, I don't have a manager. I don't have a publicist. And I'm unsure how to be on this level. You know, and it's just a matter of saying hello. A lot of times, just say hello. That's how you start the conversation. You know, if you start it correctly, some minor mistakes or lack of formality can be forgiven moving forward. You know?
That is just, I don't know. I just think about, like, so many different things that people go through. And I think a lot of the heartache and the headache that artists go through is because they don't listen. Or it's like if you ask for advice, you don't listen to the advice that someone gave you that's been there and done that. And then you spend years turning the same wheel, and then you get an attitude. But you have to be mad at yourself because when people give you free knowledge and you don't use it, you can't be mad at anybody but yourself.
That's true. That's true. When I my interview for the Hype magazine was 3 hours long, and it was a conversational interview. But our CEO Jay is just awesome. You know, very forward thinking, and she has an expertise that I don't have. I don't do marketing. You know, do PR and editorial, you know, things like that. But as I sit and I had to put it like in a biblical sense, you know, I sit at her feet and soak up wisdom. You know, I've been in the game for 15 years, and there are things that, you know, she schooled me to that are simply amazing. She's you know, she has a wealth of knowledge on how to do the marketing part and just, you know, get out there and rub elbows and engage on a different level, and I respect her highly for it and for her capabilities. And I'm, you know, I feel really lucky to be able to get that kind of an education. You know, she's younger than I am. She's more savvy, and on the marketing tip, she's the real deal. I mean, like the real deal. So I would just say to anybody, if you get an opportunity to get some free education, man, take that. You know, I mean, you might not retain everything, but you'll be able to take some notes maybe and remember a few things that you can execute, and you'll see, you know, the difference from what you've been doing on your own in conjunction with, you know, some of the advice or guidance that you can get from others who've been there, done that. So, you know, take it from an old dude.
Now, here's a question to you. By you being chief editor of Hype magazine, you interview a lot of different people, whether they're artists, entertainers, you know, whatever it is that their field of livelihood is. Name the top three interviews you've done since working with the establishment.
Oh, the top three interviews?
Uh-huh.
Since working with the Hype magazine,
yeah,
Chuck D was a great interview. Frenchie Davis, she was another great interview, and then I would have to say Karen White, the R&B singer Karen White. She was magnificent. She had a great story. Frenchie Davis had a really great story too. If you don't know who she is, she was on the second season of, and I'm saying this is how great it is, because I remember this interview almost, you know, the whole hour and a half that we talked. She had a story. She was she graduated from Howard University, got a music degree, and went to Germany, started touring on Broadway. She started touring in Germany, and she had to learn how to do all of her performances in German. Had never taken the German class. Yeah. So, some people, I'm dating myself, but if you know about the play Jesus Christ Superstar, that's a difficult piece in English. It's long, drawn out, and she had to learn to do the entire thing in German. It was great. Then the second season of American Idol was playing or was doing auditions, and she came in from Germany, came from a West Coast location in a hoodie and some jeans to New York. The line was 5 blocks long. It was like February or whatever, so she was freezing her tail off. And, you know, she got there because some friends of hers at her university actually, like, created pledge sheets and went around. You talk about homeboys and homegirls. These kids created pledge sheets, walked the campus, got donations to get her from D.C. to New York for the Idol competition, because the girl didn't have the money to get there. And she made it. She made it to the semifinals, and then she left Idol and went to Broadway, got nominated for a Grammy for Ain't Misbehaving, came back, did The Voice here recently, and made the top four finalists under Christina Aguilera. And now she's got her own joint she was like a real inspiring story of intestinal fortitude, getting it done. That was great. Karen White, she has a new album out called Carpe Diem, and her interview was great because she took off 14 years to raise her child from the music business, and she was just writing for others. And then she turned around and came back. She's got a great album. She's sticking with it. Chuck D, of course, is a classic hip-hop interview, but not so much about, you know, the music. We talked about everything from the new technological advances and how their new album, you know, Most of My Heroes Still Ain't On No Stamp, was done, you know, in studios, mostly digitally, you know, across 8 states, you know, 8 different studios in 8 states, a lot of phone and MP3 drops and this, that, and the other. So that was a really great interview. He was really informative. Those are the top three that come to mind.
Well, damn. That is,
I've got it.
Because Chuck D is classic. You know, and a lot of people, younger people, may not have a clue who he is. And, you know, Chuck D came out in that political wave of rapping that I really love and hate that, you know, no one sticks to that. Or if they do, nobody wants to listen to them or, you know, give them the time of day. But Chuck D and Flavor Flav, Professor Griff, Terminator X, it's like all of them, it's like music is just like so different from them. You know, 911 is a joke, but it had a message behind it, you know?
Yeah,
dude. As far as how crazy Flavor Flav looked, it still had a message to it. And then you go back to, let's see, wow. God, I cannot, X-Clan. You go back to
X-Clan, Intelligent Hoodlum, yeah. Yeah, those cats right there.
Yes. Poor Righteous Teachers out of Jersey. Then Nubian. And then, you know, was it Gangstar before he was the Guru? You know what I'm saying? And
both
MTV Raps on Saturday mornings had the best music because everything was about something. I remember after Scott La Rock got killed, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like a whole lot of other stuff coming together, going on. Everybody came together and did self-destruction. Like, that was one of the best collaborations in the rap game that ever came out. And a lot of young people were not even going to know that. And it's like, to understand where you're going, you need to understand where others have been and paved the way for you to come out and make this ratchet-ass music. You know, I wish that, you know, a lot of people, record labels would make artists do fucking music lessons and learn from Sugar Hill, African Bambaataa, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Curtis Blow. Like, learn how rap came and how it's turned, like, so many corners so that you will learn how to be everlasting. You don't want to be a phase or, you know, oh, you was a one-hit wonder. You make that one hit and motherfuckers is wondering where the hell you at. You don't want to do that. You want to be something of substance in the industry. And if you don't study the fucking roots of music, then you're not going to know that. It's like somebody can go back and take a sample of some music and you're like, oh, that shit is hot. Up and down that person made that beat. No, go back to your history and listen to R&B back in the day. Listen to some pop music. Listen to some jazz. You know what I'm saying? Like, wasn't it Gangstar, the Guru, when he made a song called A Touch of Jazz and he used some jazz samples from back in the day?
Yes.
And I mean, it's like people don't understand that, and that's what be like really pissing me off, because I'd be like, artist, you have no clue what the fuck is going on. So many people
gave up so much to make hip-hop such a vital part of the music industry, then y'all come out here with y'all fuckery.
I agree. I mean, that was one thing that Chuck and I, we talked about that, and then last month I did an interview with Teddy Riley from Blackstreet, founder of Blackstreet. And the conversation, you know, as we got into it, I spoke with both of them at length, you know, an hour or better, almost 2 hours. And one of the key components of the conversation was that there are no real leaders in the industry, meaning that, you know, the old head who, you know, blazed the path, blazed the trail for those to follow, you know, have been forgotten or disrespected. They're given lip service, but they really have something to offer. And when they try to reach out and come back and give the benefit of their experience, you know, it's the rare new breed artist who wants to accept that kind of guidance. And, you know, it's unfair to them, you know, because, you know, hey, Chuck has Spit Digital, Teddy Riley has TR Music Group, and they're, you know, trying to help people navigate the maze that is the entertainment industry. And you know, there are quite a few, save a couple, like Young Fire, who is part of Nappy Boy Entertainment, T-Pain's label. You know, he has an opportunity to work with Busta Rhymes, and, you know, he appreciated, you know, how harsh Busta is with him, and the type of excellence that he demands, you know what I mean? I know that Prince, during an interview, during his recent Welcome to America tour, which kicked off at Madison Square Garden, he didn't want to speak on the hip-hop world, but he spoke on the R&B world, that, you know, there was a difference, and that he felt that the R&B world was in good hands. I have yet to hear, you know, a hip-hop artist from, you know, the upper echelon, from legends, say that they feel that hip-hop is in good hands.
Well, hell no! They can't. When you got rappers like 2 Chainz talking about, I got crack, come on, what the fuck? Like...
But I think he's talking about lyrical crack, though, to give him the benefit of the doubt, you know.
Man.
I'm not a 2 Chainz fan, but I also, you know that, you know, a lot of real hip hoppers don't speak directly, although you know, Chuck D, I think he and Public Enemy were one of the clearer groups, you know. They didn't feel the need to hide anything. They said they wanted to say it in plain English so that everyone from every walk of life could understand what the point was that they were trying to make. You know, to give 2 Chainz the benefit of the doubt, I think he's talking about lyrical crack, you know, and I'm not a 2 Chainz fan, you know, I don't care that he's different. you know, but I would give him the benefit of the doubt of that particular, you know. I don't think he's talking about, you know, dope.
Because the one, I would have to say, and you have to give Master P credit for doing this, when he made Ghetto Dope, and he told you how to make crack. And what was crazy is the song came out in the 90s. I lived in Atlanta at the time. Go to the club, when they play that song, every fucking dope boy is rapping because they know how to make crack. And they're like, yep, that's how you do it. That's not something to be proud about.
No, but you know what? That showed you how in touch he was with that demographic.
Oh, hell yes.
I mean, he spoke what he knew. You know, that helped his credibility. You know what I mean? Not that he necessarily needed it, you know, where in his area. However, that what he was talking about, you know, that message, that truth, strangely enough, you know, is something that everybody, every D-boy in any city, in any geographical demographic would identify with, like, yep, that's how you do it. That's the mix. That's it right there. That's that chest buster. That's that come up right there, you know? So, I mean, it's a shame, you know, but it is what it is.
I have to give him credit for that, because that one was quite interesting. And it's just different how you see many demographical areas with their own niche for stuff. Like Cali is their own entity. I love Cali for so many different reasons. I love the fact that when you get your, well, I don't know how it is now, but back in the day when you got your California's driver's license, Cali was the only state that could suspend your license. Everybody else could put a lien on your license. California was like, man, fuck that. We're the only ones that can suspend your shit. So when you go to another state, they're like, oh, yeah, you have a lien on your license for a ticket in Arizona. Well, you know, until you take care of that, I'm like, shit, I'm good. I'll go back to Cali. I don't give a damn. As long as my shit wasn't suspended in Cali, be like, boom. And then a friend of mine was telling me that you can go platinum or whatever just in the state of Cali alone, because it's so big and it has its own crowd. And that's crazy, right? That one state, you don't have to worry about the rest of the United States. If you capture Cali, you have accomplished so much, because your numbers are going to soar, because Cali is so different.
Yeah, well, you know, Texas, you could lay that same claim to Texas.
Okay.
Look at Rap-A-Lot, Swisha Hive, you know, those guys from Houston. Lil Flip went platinum in Houston. I'm not talking about Texas. I'm talking about Houston. You know, the mindset there, they have their own niche. You know what I mean? And if you're from Studiwood or North Gulf Bank, you know what I mean? If you're from the Beltway area, Beltway 8, whatever, you know, you were Third Ward, you know, Cloverland, you have your own crowd, and they, as long as you're legit within that neighborhood, you know, you'll get the support, and it spreads. I used to own a record store in Houston, and I couldn't sell a fucking commercial CD. It had to be the mix CDs, and they wanted the new Lil Flip. They wanted the new Big Pokey. They wanted the new Paul Wall or the Houston AZ. You know what I mean? They were specific about who they wanted, you know? And I tried to go in there like a Sam Goody shit. That did not work. So, you know, there are more areas that are like that. But, you know, the larger areas, of course, California, you can go platinum in California. You can go multi-platinum in California. I mean, shit, Mellow Man Ace was the first Latin rapper prior to Frost, who was known as Kid Frost at the time. He was the first Latin rapper to go gold in California, just from the Latin crowd. You know, his song Mentirosa, you know, that took him. You know what I mean? That was, you know, he was the man back then. That was before Frost. And then Kid Frost came out and he took the game over. You know what I mean? So Mello is brothers from Sendog of Cypress Hill. So, and this was pre-Cypress Hill. So, you know, the Latin Fros out there, they did well within the Latin community. I think they've got a couple of gold and one or two platinum plaques. But you're right, California, you can go platinum. Texas, you can go platinum and never leave your backyard, pretty much. So shout out to Houston.
I mean, I have to say, Texas, I agree with you in Texas. I was incarcerated in Beaumont. And
okay.
You know, when we used to look at videos on Saturday night, and one of, like, it was so crazy because you had people from San Antonio, Fort Worth, Dallas, Houston, everybody, because it's like it wasn't like a whole lot of female prisons, so to speak, or whatever. So it's like when the videos came on, I'll never forget it. It was this rapper called Big Mo, and
yep.
He had that song called Purple Stuff, and
yep.
That's when I first saw Slim Thug.
Uh-huh.
He was part of that movement, and it was just tripping me out because I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm far away from home, have no clue what the fuck is going on in Houston, take whatever, then they got me fucked up in this crazy-ass system. And you see these females like Purple Stuff, Purple. I mean, it was just crazy because the song was just like, really?
Yeah. But they have that sound. That's that sound. You know what I mean? You notice that, strangely enough, you know, the Southern sound started to invade. You know, it went West Coast first, you know. Of course, then the Chopped and Screwed, you know, was something that was unique there, and it came to the Midwest. But the South, you know, specifically, you know, the Houston area and the personalities from Houston made a big dent or made a huge impact, you know, in the music arena, which they should have because there was some great stuff that came out of there, you know. But nowadays, it doesn't seem to matter where you're from. It's you know, the garbage that seems to be selling. I'm not sure which area of the United States, you know, they're staying true to their sound, you know what I mean, specifically. You have to pretty much go to some underground place. Well, you know what? No, that's not true, because Rhapsody, who is part of Ninth Wonder's Jamla music label, she's staying true. She brings that hip hop sound. She's Cold Feet. Persia from New York. She's ill. You know, I'm not really up on. I don't like that chick Snow. It's all garbage to me. But there's the people that are holding it down. You know what I mean? Big Brother Biz out of New York, he's holding it down. A cat named Young Sin out of Inglewood. He's staying true to the West Coast down. You know what I mean? As it was originally brought out. So there's the cats out there that are doing it correctly. I mean, you know, but they're being overwhelmed by other people.
I'm sure. This new rap game is something serious.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm not a rapper, a DJ, a producer, or anything like that, but I've worked in the music business, you know, pretty much all of my professional life. And, you know, watch the changes. And having started out as a street promoter, you know, that traveled from city to city, state to state, you know, pushing music and learning about new music and getting a vibe, you know. I would just say this. I did not see the era that we're in. I did not see that coming. You know, I did not see the development of that coming. I just didn't. It's almost as if it happened overnight. You know? It's like, wow. It's amazing.
The state of hip-hop. But, I mean, it's nice to know that R&B is safe, but the state of hip-hop.
You know, it's not hopeless. Hip-hop is not hopeless. I love hip-hop. You know what I mean? That's my favorite woman. And there's some, you know, some cats like Wordsmith out of Baltimore, hell, Fats the Big Fella, strangely enough, he's out of the DMV, he's out of Washington, D.C., you know, with his crew, the Bang Bang Boys. They're doing it pretty good, you know what I mean? They come with the lyrics, they come with the good music, and they're hopefully, I'm hopeful that they will be accepted, you know, as people will start to get tired of this bullshit that we're being force-fed by the record labels, you know what I mean? We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I love hip-hop, and I believe that, you know, this is just a development and a branch, one of the spokes from the hub of the wheel, you know what I mean? There's a million spokes in hip-hop. You know, hip-hop being the center of the wheel and the rest of them being spokes that reach out. And, you know, just keeps on rolling and you add more spokes. And, you know, some people never would have accepted hip rock, you know what I mean? But there's some exceptional artists out there that are doing it, you know. And chick by the name out of Boston, name of Fever Rock. She's a rapper, but she does it, you know, with the heavy metal grind. Shit, you got DJ Blessed and Sutter Kane, you know, out of Philly, I believe. They're doing it, you know. So it's just growing, and hip hop is a living, breathing entity. And there will always be, you know, people who do it differently. It's just that the powers that be are selecting the sound that we hear and are inundated with, and people are complaining about it. You know, right now, to the point where, you know, terrestrial radio is losing out and internet radio is picking up again, as it should, and they're recognizing that, you know, the powers that be are recognizing, you know, the fact that people are looking for something different and looking for more artists and music that's true to the what they feel, you know, hip hop should be, and not so revolve around the garbage. So that's one reason why places like Sirius XM, Sirius Satellite, and iHeartRadio, Spotify, Rhapsody, those stations or those outlets are doing well, because you can create your own station. One of the things that Pandora did well was create this algorithm where if you picked an artist, that there was some sort of metric that it used and analyzed your choice, and it gave you music that was, it felt was compatible. iTunes also has an application inside of it that will help you create a playlist, you know, based on recommendations from, you know, the iTunes DJ or whatever it is. So we'll see, you know, I mean, but in my opinion, it can't get any worse. I don't think it can't get any worse than what it is. I think the ratchet era of hip hop, I hope and pray that it doesn't last much longer. We'll see a return to some lyricism and some complicated beats, intricate arrangements, and things like that. You know what I mean? Or hell, we can just go back to the gangster jailhouse beat, you know, boom, boom, bap, and we'll be all right. You know what I mean? We'll be all right. Because it'll require people to go inside themselves and pull out a product that's of a much higher caliber than what we have right now.
I feel you on that. I most definitely feel you on that. Last night I was looking at VH1, and it had the best R&B artists or the best R&B songs of the 90s. And I didn't get a chance to see all of it because I had to go to bed because I was tired and I knew I'd be up all night watching it. And you know, when you were speaking about Teddy Riley, it was just amazing to see the artists as they are now, talking about, you know, their songs and the effect that it had back then and everything. And then it just made me go back to, like, damn, I missed that era. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, such a good mix when R&B got together with a rap artist. It was, like, one of those songs that was really exciting because the energy, and then it's like when you saw them in the videos together, you saw the chemistry, like with Treat Me Right, with Guy and Heavy D. I was just like, oh, snap, you know what I mean? And just to hear people talk about what they were doing in their life when those songs came out, it's just like, wow, you know? And to me, I feel like rap should, like, old school rappers should not be celebrated just like once a year, twice a year, or you pick one at one particular award show or something like that, because they are pioneers. They paved the way so that a lot of you guys could put out y'all fuck music or whatever kind of music you want to call it. Some people have good music, some people have bad music, some people just fuck and stink, you know? But at any rate, somebody paid their dues for you to be there, and I feel like those people should be honored more than what they are, because they really changed the outlook on how people perceive rap back in the day and to this day now.
Well, not only that, they changed the way people perceive their surroundings, their community. You know, they said things that will last. You know, they made points that are forever points. These cats nowadays, you know, are not talking about things that, you know, that will make a difference 20 years from now. You know what I mean? Even self-destruction is a song, you know, that still applies today. You know, the young cat that got killed in Chicago. You know what I mean? I mean, brothers, people, you know, still doing things to themselves and to their people. That song applies. You know what I mean? X-Clan, you know, to the East Blackwoods. You know what I mean? That that crew said plenty that still remains true to this day. You know, some of it has been swept under the rug or buried. However, you know, those points are still valid. I do not know that, you know, I'm different or bands will make her dance are things that are going to live, you know, for more than a year. You know what I mean? So everybody's on this stripper music thing, you know, and they're not saying shit. You know, you're just telling me how much money you have, which is fine. You have money. I'm not hating on you. And you just going to go give it away in, you know, 10, 20,000 at a time. That's fine. You know, those women are working, and they deserve to be paid for their services, and they do provide entertainment. And hell, shit, that damn pole dancing can be hard as hell work. I'm like, how the hell she do that? But anyway, you know, the message there is not, you know, a long-lasting message. You know, I mean, it's, you know, telling a young chick, you know, here's how you can make your money, shake your ass, get good at that, you know, and this nigga or dummy, whatever, is going to just throw money at you. It gives her, it objectifies women on a different scale, and the women themselves don't seem to think it's important enough to reject that, and it makes money. I mean, everybody's sex sells. Everybody likes to, you know, see some, you know, whether you're a woman going to a male strip club or a guy going to the male strip club, you know, or whatever, or both. You know what I mean? So, but it's not anything that we're talking about. Tell somebody I'm different, or, you know, my question to them would be, what the fuck are you saying now that is going to make a difference to me as an old person 20 years from now, or to my child, you know, who will be an adult 20 years from now? You know, what is it that, what kind of wisdom have you imparted? What, I mean, what was the purpose of your song? You know, I think a lot of these songs will sell just as many
copies if they had no vocals because the tracks are banging. You know? So, there it is there. You know what I mean? So, that's just my opinion. You know? Take it or leave it.
I'm sure. Oh, my goodness. Our two, let me see, what can I call these? You know what? I can't say Helpful and Jekyll. I can't say, fuck. I don't know. I'm trying to find a good name to describe these gentlemen because they crack me up because you guys did such a good job on Tuesday. But it's Rikers and Ant. Ant had to get his head cut. I kind of thought Rikers had cut his head, but I remember Rikers is not a barber. I don't know what his hand skills are like, so, you know, he had to make some Hey, Rikers. Hey, Ant.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, Chuck? What's going on with you?
I'm feeling good. We've been having an interesting conversation because, you know, tonight is the follow-up to Artist After Game Up. And we were, like, talking about manners and approach, and we were just talking about the different styles of music, and, you know how I feel about the old school rap and everything like that, and we was just, you know me, I was venting about how rappers don't read, won't read, and can't read, and how they approach is so fucked up when they're approaching you to play their music or talk to you or ask you what you do and stuff like that, and then when they find out what you do, how they approach you to get you to work with them.
That's definitely a problem. But again, that comes back from the home at the same time, because it's almost like when you ask a guy takes a girl out on a date, most men will understand that at least get a job, or at least have a way to take care of yourself and take the girl out on the date. You know, they walking up on girls with their clothes, with their pants down to their kneecaps, and looking like straight fools. But because women go, wow, hey, you know, I want your number anyway, they figure that they can go through society like that. So when a guy comes to me with some, you know, I just got the newest this, and I got the newest that, and I'm banging, and I'm like, dude, are you serious? So I'm going to keep it real with you. As a shark, I'm already thinking about getting you. I'm like, this kid, he's a buffoon. He can't read. He won't read. He thinks he knows it all. So I'm going to give him the gold watch and the chain, and I'm going to make him sign this slave deal. And when he has no publishing, don't control his masters, but he got, you know, he could go to all the homecomings and get 30% of his money at the show because I'm taking another 70%. Then a few years later, he's upset. But I'm like, if you learn how to speak proper English, you learn how to read your paperwork, you know how to approach people. Maybe people will reciprocate that to you by treating you like a respectable adult and as a businessman, and not the Trinidad James of the world.
Yes, sir.
You came to me like Trinidad James. I'm gonna treat you like a cool. And I'm like, okay, this guy's right. He's a fool. So artists, real, when you approach somebody, these are professionals. So don't say, you know. For instance, I told somebody the other day, they said they want to hire me as a manager. I said, how much you paying me? And he was like, well, I said, no, you said the word hire. When you say hire, that means you're paying for my services. How much are you going to pay me for my services? And he's like confused. I'm like, dude, the industry has changed a lot. Managers, you want an investor or do you want a manager? A manager job is not to really pour tons of money out of his pocket. A manager job is to manage your career. And because I'm not making money off your career for a long time, I will not spend any money on your project, especially if you're not coming to me correct. So if you really want me to invest my money into your project, you got to come correct. If not, I'm like, okay, now you're hiring my services, and I'm going to help you, but you are paying, you're going to cut a retainer, and you're going to pay. So you got to start treating them like how parents want to slap a kid in the mouth when he's disrespectful. You got to treat them like that, but in a business sense.
I agree.
But again,
I did all the talking. I'm not saying nothing.
But again,
y'all took y'all time to get here.
No, we little something.
So, Aunt, what do you have to say about this? Because, I mean, you work at Interscope, so I'm sure you met a bunch of retards.
Oh, did I? Did I? From when I first started to, like, till I left. So, well, like you said, it's true. Like you said, that you have to approach it like you when you get like home training, for sure. They're going to look at you as a joke, like, we don't need you. We said, we got 50 Cent. We got Eminem. We got all of them. So, why? What is your approach? Why do I have to say about why do I got to sign you? That's all that's all within yourself. And then basically if you're different, maybe we could use you just because of your approach. Maybe Trinidad James did the same thing. Your approach was, oh, you know what, you're a good kid, you got some good manners, maybe we should sign you. Well, I don't know what kind of deal he got, but he got $2 million from it, but maybe his approach was correct. I see him interview, he do know how to talk sometimes, like, as far as, well, I see him with that next interview, I see him like, yeah, I'm like, who's the PR? So, like I said, it depends on your approach, for sure. At home training, you go far. If not, then you're going to have a one-hit wonder.
What's the rudest, my question to you is, what is the rudest approach you've ever experienced?
What's that again?
What's the rudest approach you guys have ever experienced?
You know, it's funny. Honestly, I never really got approached rudely. The most ridiculous approach I've ever received is one time I was in Miami. I was on Ocean Drive, and I was just coming from Starbucks. And the guy recognized me. He saw me. I was interviewed on This Is 50. And he actually saw me. He recognized me. He goes, didn't you just get interviewed on thisis50.com? And I was like, yeah. So he sort of asked me something. He goes, yo, you know, I'm trying to get into the industry, this and that. And I'm like, okay. You know, everything was correct. You know, he knew how to talk. He had his music. But I'm looking, you know, but now I'm analyzing. I'm like, okay, the kid had, like, you know, some exclusive Jordans on. He got True Religion jeans. He got like a True Religion hoodie. And I'm looking, you know, again, I do clothing. So I'm like, man, this is the premium stuff. But, you know, the kid had about at least $3,000 worth of clothing on. And then he asked me to do him but I got no money to pay you to, you know, to basically manage, promote, and market me and get me into publications and all that. And I'm like, well, the clothing on your back, I mean, you talking about you got a Benz and you talking about you got a boat in your music. Like, you dressing like it, so I think you need to pay me.
Right.
I mean, you got your car note's getting paid, your boat and your music is getting paid. For instance, don't say it if you ain't about it. So don't talk about the Rolex on your wrist, and then you come to me talking about, I'm like, well, I need a retainer fee to take for me to take your services. I ain't got the money. But you just said you just got a mansion in your music. So what is it? Yo, I can't help you. So, you know, me and him's going back and forth because I'm trying to explain them to him. I think, of course, after all, people were standing and listening. And then, you know, a few girls were like, yo, he does make sense. You know, so now people are catching on to him. He's looking around like, oh, shoot. You've been called out on you're being called out now.
Yep.
And like I said, it wasn't embarrassing, but it's like, oh, dude, you know, everybody else is getting paid. Where's my check? And I really didn't even want money from the kid. I just wanted to make a point. You know, that was probably the most ridiculous thing, you know, right in early morning Starbucks. You know, I was a debate with a kid.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. I can remember. I remember a story when I was going into the office one day, and a kid came up to me and said, "What do you do upstairs?" I work in the promotion and radio department. What's up? Oh, I need to put this. I need you to look at, listen to this, and put it on the radio for me and call me back. I was like, what?
Wow.
I was like, how long you been out here for? For like 2 hours, yo. Somebody was going to come down to come get me. Nobody got me. I was like, how did you ask? Like, why did I ask? You to come downstairs, come listen to this music. I was like, all right, you know what? Slow down. Go in your car, hold up for me for another 2 hours. I'll be right back. So I went upstairs. I think I took like 3 hours. Came back down, almost still sitting there. I said, you know what? I don't like how your approach was, but I like your drive, yo. Give me that CD. I'm going to give it to somebody. And he took a listen to it. A guy from upstairs in the AR apartment came down and said, look, you need to do this, do that, and then come back to me another month after you fix this, fix that. Oh, you don't like rave music sound now? He was like, nah, you need a lot of work. But, I mean, my boy was telling me about your drive and all that. I respect that. And I came down for this. He was like, nah, I like how the music sound right now. I don't nobody tell me. I said, you don't need to make a deal. Have a good day. The whole day is wasted. So this dude got real close to almost, you know, getting heard. And so approach was like, I'm hot. Nobody can tell me I'm not hot.
Yeah.
I guess he's still standing in front of 1755 Broadway.
Ain't nothing worse than a bad ego. I've seen that too many times.
Yeah, right?
Oh, but you said you like him cocky, though.
I like him cocky, but that's the cocky and stupid one.
Yeah,
like, I got a guy like that. He gave me a pound. He wanted me to shake his hand. I'm like, I gave him a pound. He goes, no, but I extended my hand. I said, I don't know you. And he goes, well, no, but, you know, because he wanted to shake my hand. I'm like, I don't know you. I don't shake hands with strangers. I give you a pound. I will never give you my open hand so you can grab my hand. You ain't
yeah,
no
right.
trick. And, you know, he was, because he wanted to give me his music. And I'm like, no, I don't extend my open hand to people I don't know. I give you a pound, a closed fist. You know, I'm not going to grab my hand so you can grab me and try to hold me or something. I don't want to be held by no dudes. So I gave him a big guy. So, you know, as a man, I said, well, actually, handshakes is something that Europeans was doing. So don't try to make it that's an African thing. That's something Europeans were doing. And the reason why they used right hand is because they were so quick to stab one another. So they used the right hand because they all right-handed. I said, here's a pound and call it a day. But again, this is hot right for the Hot 97. Dude swore to death. He went to, like, to get on the radio. And I'm like, dude, you don't want to work, though.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Rappers are lazy. I mean, for me, because you guys know, and Rikers, we talk about this all the time because you always guide me. And it's like when I do my R&B mixtape, the R&B artist, they are always on point with promoting, supporting, and everything. And when I did my one and only hip-hop rap mixtape, those had to be the laziest bastards I ever worked with, except for a couple. The only one that sticks out in my head that handled his business was California Fig. And right then and there, I was like, I will never do a hip-hop rap mixtape. Or if I do, they're going to pay for it because I'm giving you too much for free for your fuck ass not to do shit. That shit had me mad as hell. It did numbers because of me, but I was just like, how fucking lazy and ungrateful can you be?
Well, you did it for yourself. You did it for yourself. You didn't really do it for them. So, I mean, at the same time, it's almost like, you know, I as a lesson learned. So you really can't look at it as, you know, anything more than, you know, it's a lesson learned. I realize the market I'm working with, and I realize that, you know, especially with this, the internet, and a lot of people don't rap because they love to rap. They rap because they want to get out the ghetto and they want to get money. So they started wrong in the first place. I mean, we all want to get paid, but you're starting off wrong. You know, I want to buy my mom a house. That's why you're rapping? Like, get a job for that. Like, do you have an art and you want to express your art? That's rapping. That's what makes, that's longevity. This is why at 42 years old, Jay-Z is still better than 99% of the rappers out. Because it's an art to him. It's like it's a passion for him. He don't want to buy his mama a house. He never said he wanted to buy a mama a house. You know, he just said he likes it. He likes to write. You know, we did something with Play from Kid and Play. He said, I did it. I didn't want the money. I was happy because I was getting all the girls wanted me. And I'm like, damn, you rap for girls? He's like, damn right. I rap for the women. And I'm like, that's why your music is so, you know, funny. And he goes, yeah, that was my passion. I just loved the attention I was getting from the girls. But again, this is why they was able to do movies, because it wasn't about greed. It was something other than just green hardback currency. You know, you gotta want more. You gotta want more for your career, and that's what I tell a lot of up and coming rappers. Like, promote your show. Don't go to a show and then say I'm performing at an event,
and I'm just going to sit there, you got to be a promoter just as much. Somebody told me at the end of the show at Shaw University, and Little Scrappy was on the bill. And when Little Scrappy was on the bill, like no less than 20 people showed up. And they said it was like 20 people, no lie there, for Little Scrappy. And I'm like, what happened? They said, yeah, because Little Scrappy didn't even promote his own event. And I'm like, yo, just because you got a check, you just realize that these people will never call you back again. So you got to promote just as much because the promoter want to make sure that he's getting, not only he's getting his gate receipts, but he wants the chance of possibly bringing you back because he wants that relationship. But now he only got 20 people through the door for you. So one, he's not calling you into Carolina again. Two, to you, you're just a lame. And three, you're lazy.
Yep.
And then you're whack. So like I said, if I ever work with artists, same thing. I tell them, here's your thing, but you got to promote just as much because this is your career. And most people don't understand. They're just watching too much TV, like understanding they see these rappers come up overnight. No, it doesn't work that way. You may say Trinidad James, you got a deal in 1 year. Because remember, he's about to get sued for every dime he got from Martin Lawrence now for stealing the character. So it's like, really? Like, dude, it takes years of hard work to even get to the level where a lawyer can even take you inside of a meeting unless you're doing some sellout Illuminati type homosexual breakdancing type deal with the devil to get some type of deal like Drake or one of them guys.
Okay, what was that?
Huh?
What's that?
What did you say about Drake?
He was talking about Drake.
Well, yeah, but again, these deals cost a lot of money. Now, you could say money in another way, but it's money in the sense of his future earnings. He has to cut a percentage off of to give to the people that got him to the place he's at right now. And also, I tell people, there's no 401k in this stuff. You got us to have a business sense when you get in to understand that, like the NBA player, yeah, you made $20 million in your career, but what you going to do when you're 30 years old for the rest of your life. Like, I hope you got that degree in college, because when you got the league, you got, at 30 years old, you got into like 80. You're not getting any more NBA checks. And even if you do get the pension, they'll kick into 50. So what are you doing? What's the long-term goal? You going to make it a single and get out like Stanky Leg? Are you going to do the Stanky Leg song and make a single deal and never be heard from again? Or are you going to try to make music like Illmatic and Nas and artist who has longevity, who can drop albums out, physical albums, and still tour the world. You know, so it depends what kind of art, what the artist is actually looking for. And right now, I don't think a lot of artists are looking more than that. You know, yeah, I'm clapping him and I'm clapping that. Hello, Walmart's not putting you in their store shelf talking about clapping nobody. I hope you remember there's no more mom and pop stores. So now you got to confine to a Target once, Walmart once, with these big chains once. If you're talking about, yeah, I'm catching bodies, they don't care. They're looking at your music and say, okay, rated R, I'm not putting it on the shelf. You just lost a whole chain of stores now. And then your music is half the time is a lie. Then the other half, the cops and feds are listening to it, waiting for you to do something stupid so they can lock you up. So put some content into your music. I always tell people, put something. And then also the key to your music, rewind value. I always tell people this. Make sure your song has rewind value. If somebody listens to your song once and no one hears it again, that shit sucks. Just believe it. But if they listen to your song and you got to that hook, you go, wait, rewind that again? Oh, my God, you heard what he just said? That's when you got a hitting song. Every hitting song got a part of the song where you got to press rewind and hear it again. So if your song got rewind value, you'll scrap it. I told people to scrap it. Every great song got rewind value, even if it's the hook. It better have something that you got to press rewind. If the person ain't going to press rewind, it ain't worth it. Scrap it. Find something else.
True. Sure. Yeah, honestly, I think that. Like, that's true, like you're saying, though. I just... Wow.
Damn. You got a point there, because, like, a lot of times, when I get music, if I like it, I'll go back and listen to it. And if I really love it, because I spend lots of long hours on the internet, tweeting, writing, or whatever, I will put your shit on repeat on Windows Media Player, and I will listen to that one fucking song for like 2-3 hours straight. and
for the whole show.
And be like, oh shit, it sounds better. Each time I listen to it, it sounds better, and I get more work done because I'm hyped about that artist. And then I feel like it's my duty to tell people about your music because I am like happy about it. I'm enthusiastic about it. So I like to share stuff with my friends and my fan base when I'm happy about it because I'm like, I feel like you have something special. You know what I'm saying? If you're sending it to me, it's for a reason. It wasn't for me just to be laying up in my bed with my laptop on my lap and just listen to your shit and be like, oh, okay. Me, if you send me some high-ass music and I like it, you're going to see your shit on YouTube in a video where I'm promoting myself and I'm going to promote you and it's going to be on so many different outlets. That's what I do to shit that I like. I don't like your shit. I don't talk about it. When you hit me up, I kind of try and curb you. But if you, like, push me up against the wall, I'll be like, yo, for real, I couldn't do nothing with that shit. What'd you expect?
Well, like I said, it's the honesty. I mean, the honesty is the key at the end of the day. You want somebody, like I said, there's nothing worse than a homeboy manager, but ain't nothing worse than groupie friends. Like, men, don't be groupies to your friends. Just keep it real with them. Yo, this shit is whack. Tell them it's whack. Don't let them go out there into the front of a showcase and 100 people and everybody looking around like, damn, that shit is whack. I'm looking at you like, yo, why are you telling me, son? I will display your feelings. Understand, if he breaks, I mean, he's gonna need people on the road with him. If he's hot, he's going to take you on the road with him anyway. So make sure the music is hot so you can get some longevity on the road. You can go to your homecomings. You can finally get a girl because you probably can't get a girl in your neighborhood. You know, there's a lot of things you can do if the music is hot. I mean, look at the entourages with some of these artists. Think of the bigger picture. You know, if something's wrong with the kid music, tell them there's something wrong with it. If you sit there and you go to a DJ or something, he goes work on it, you not sit there and be like, okay, what can I work on? It's like the gentleman the other night, he talked to a madam, and she was ripping into him. Now, he could have been a lame rapper. Go, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. I'm gonna go about my business. No, he sat there and like, you know what? She's punching the hell out of my head, but I'm gonna take it. Until he realized after we broke it down to him, he realized, oh, I got it. Yeah, that's what you need. You need somebody who's gonna say you're doing something wrong, and okay, maybe it's a little bit, but that's what you need. You need to go home and your mother and you coming home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and your mother said curfew's at 11. And you trying to get in the door, and the door's locked. You're like, why is the door locked? Because I told you curfew's at 11. You showed up at 1, you're sleeping in the street, homie. That's what you need. You need tough love, especially in this industry, because I tell people all the time, like, I managed artists, and again, I'm known by everybody in the label industry. And I can tell the artist straight up, when we get to the deal, understand, they're gonna take me out. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, oh, they're going to clip my wings. Trust me when I tell you. He said, what does that mean? I said, when you get into these deals, rarely do you enter the label with the manager you came in with. Because you can't serve two masters. The label wants that control. So you got to find a manager who's understanding his place, but at the same time wants to help you out, help your career out as well. But the artists, again, they have to know how to read. You know, it's very reading is so important because you got to know how to take care of yourself in this industry right now. It's very ruthless because the money is so fast right now, especially with the digital money, how quick that comes. You've got to be very proficient in your reading and understanding of business right now.
Yeah, you have to get a manager that basically ain't, like, you know, they can have a personal relationship, but at the same time, it can be a manager that's all about their business. Like, for example, we're going to do the same thing, with, you know, like with the twins. They have a mentor, but he's going to be a manager.
Right.
But at the same time, he's their friend. Mess up their business. Exactly. So, you know, so basically they gotta have that same passion as far as I'm your friend, but at the same time, I'm focused on your career, making sure your career is on point.
So I gotta tell you when you're screwing up.
Exactly. So don't take it personal. They have to learn to take constructive criticism. Like that homie, I was laying in front of Interscope, for Universal, and he don't want to take constructive criticism, meaning that he want to feel like, oh, my music is good. Nobody can't tell me that. My music ain't good. Oh, I need work. If you can't take that, then have me in the studio for like 2 hours, 3 hours, or it don't sound right, do it again. Do another drop.
Forget about it, right?
Remember
those long nights.
Exactly. So if you can't handle that, if you can't handle simple criticism, then You can't survive in this business.
Yeah, that, the long nights ain't no joke, especially when you think you're doing the you've been doing studio sessions until you actually have to really do one.
Exactly. And you got to wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning for a morning meeting.
Yeah, after just getting in from 4 o'clock in the morning from the
exactly,
studio session. And if you're late, they said they're going to book you. They're going to charge you on that.
Exactly. So, like I said, this business is, I thought, if you can't handle losing sleep, if you can't handle, you know what I mean, like, to do the, the minor stuff, then you need to go ahead and be work in the business. Sometimes you can't handle that.
Oh, nah. Most people can't. But again, that's the problem. A lot of people have never even had to get jobs.
Yep.
And I'm like, dude, if you can't even get a job, this is something that's going to be very hard for you. But again, it's, if you study, you read, you have some good mentors, it'll help you out, and especially artists coming out. And I always say the South is different because if it ain't Atlanta, Houston, those certain markets, they almost like you're non-existent. So you got to find a niche in the market. What makes your music stand out amongst your peers? And then find a mentor, and then try to learn how to dominate your market. You don't know how to. You can't dominate your market with work ethic and the work ethic, a great team, a proficient staff, an understanding of the industry, and a 3 or 5 year plan of where you're taking your music. You're gonna lose. And I don't like to see people lose because when you lose, that just means you got beaten in your contract. And I don't mean lose and got flopping because again, you could do local shows and make good money. I know artists that. I heard like 2 songs, and they've been touring for the last 3 years just making music because even though you drop a song out on Monday, people go, I'm going to drop a new song out every 2 weeks. Why? There's over like 80 million hip-hop consumers in the country. You think 1% of them heard your music in that 1 week you dropped that song? No. You get that one hot record, you work that record until the wheels fall off. Just work that record. Now, you can put out other records to test ears, but you take those hot records and you push them to death because you're not even touching. I guarantee 1.01% never even heard your music, and you already on your second song, and on your third song, and on your fourth song, and you probably just left three gems right there on the locker. So find that hot record and work it. Find DJs, work it to the DJs, work it to the labels. Find yourself a nice lawyer who can take it to labels. Find a good proficient team who can get it to the the top DJ. Because if you do it yourself, the DJ don't look at you like you're nobody. But find somebody who's just a big dude around who can help take your music over there. Buy the DJ a drink and work the record to the DJ. And as you just start going, you just pass it on. Like Cudi, Nigel Mack, A&R is Cudi. And he said Cudi worked that record for 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years until somebody actually heard Day and Night. 2 years. It took him to work that record. But he was able to blow on it. And that's what I tell artists, find that song and work with it. Don't keep giving the industry new songs when we didn't even heard your old ones. Like, work those records, find about 2-3 good hits, and just run with them. And, you know, again, hope for the stars after that because anything's possible. I mean, I've seen the wackest MCs get deals.
Yeah,
and
I've
seen the wackest MCs live longevity. Look at who's the whack Asher Roth. He's the most wackest artist I've ever heard in my life. I went to his list. We did his listening party. I've never had an artist say press fast forward on his album.
Wow.
He actually sat there and said press fast forward.
Wow.
We was in DigiWax, and we were talking to me, and me and CL looked at each other, and he said, okay, now skip to song 6. And I'm like, did he just say skip to song 6? Get to song 10. I'm like,
his own album.
We sitting there like, this is. And I said, I looked at my man 10. I'm like, is he actually pressing fast forward? No one ever pressed fast forward. I'm like, this is some funny shit. And I realized it because when I actually heard his album, I said, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. You are garbage. You're literally trash. But what did he do? He was able to tour. He had about 2-3 good songs. He toured every college you can touch in America. And before you know it, he was getting 10, 12,000 a show at the colleges.
Because
he had the songs. So one weekend, he was hitting 2 universities. I'm like, if you don't look, I'm like, wow, you got those 2 hot records and you ran them to the wheels fell off. You may not hear Asher Roth now, but I guarantee he saved that money because he knew it was going to be no more. He was probably going to drop from the label. Well, the label probably kept him because he probably got a 360 deal. So the label got money off of the shows, but at the same time, they're like, this we're not putting out another album with this kid. But, I mean, he found two or three good records, and he ran with it. Kid, probably the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, just Asheroff is terrible. Oh, God, I heard Monkees and Heat sound better than this kid. I'm a blunt, honest person. But again, I've seen other artists looking like the Bush Babies. I mean, they haven't had songs out since the early 90s, and they're still touring Germany because they got two, three hot records they can take for the rest of their life. So artists, find those hot records. Because the record is, what did I teach that earlier? I heard you say something about the beat. You talking about like the artist with the beat, you know. Well, that's when I first tuned in. But it's like, you know, if you have a hot beat, you have a hot hook, you know, you can run with that. Just make sure the lyrics say something with it. It makes sense where somebody can remember it a few years later. You may be able to go to ESPN and get a deal. You know, Dirty Den had a record, Ballin' at the Rug, and he did it just for a favor. And every time I play it for somebody, they go, oh, my God, that record is ready. And I'd be like, wow. And Ben did that as a whole. And that could be probably, and it turns out, that's his biggest record. You know, that's going to end up being his big, most, I'm going to say most likely that's going to be his biggest record in a second. But again, that's somebody who paid attention, wrote out a record, and realized that the longevity potential of the record. The record could be played on ESPN, it could be played at arenas, because it's a clean record, it's no cursing, it's no profanity, and it's a safe record. Where even white parents can say, this is safe hip-hop for my child to listen to. Instead of saying, what the hell are these niggas talking about? I don't want my child listening to that nigga music. You know, but they can say, this is a safe hip-hop music. That's what you want. You want to be able to go to Walmart and sell records. Because Walmart is like one of the biggest chains selling records right now. You want to be able to sell records at every venue location on earth. No one want to hear about how many people you clapped in the hood. Maybe only person who want to hear about you clapping niggas in the hood is the Ku Klux Klan. You know, so, you know, that's not impressive. So I always tell people, learn how to start taking that cornball stuff out your music. You know, all that fake stuff, start taking that out your music, man. It only leads to jail time or worse. Because somebody's eventually going to challenge you on that music. Oh, you're a thug. Eventually, thugs are going to come look for you.
Right.
You know, eventually, they're going to come hunt you down, and they're going to challenge you. I ain't never heard no one tomorrow, I'm going to go up the floor rider and punch him in the mouth. Why? Floyd Wright don't care about that. Floyd Wright's talking about, I don't even know what his music's talking about. He's talking about apple bottom jeans, the boots, and the spurs. We need what to go fight that guy. Why? I would like the fool challenging him to fight, but every time you hear Jeezy or Gucci Mane, whatever, they either fighting in jail, they're going in jail, they ducking bullets. Fine, if you're not about that life, don't live that life in your music. Because people want to challenge you. It's like Nelly. How many people ever went to fight Nelly? You know, so I always tell people, find a lane in what you really want to go with your career. And understand, somebody's going to challenge you on that music eventually.
Now, right, this is kind of off the subject, but it kind of goes with what you were saying a few minutes ago. Now, everybody's familiar with the Meek Mills and Cassidy beef, correct?
Yeah, they're just battling, right?
Huh?
They're just battling.
Yeah, but it's like a little fat dude. Arab or something like that.
Yeah, Arab, yeah.
I before the show was coming on, you know, I just like try to stay on top of things or whatever. And somebody had sent me a video last week on BBM, and you have this dude that's supposed to be cool with Cassidy and is cool with Meek Mills, but it's like you're choosing sides, and you're like, well, you know, I caught a body with Cassidy. My beef is he didn't hold me down. He didn't do this, that, and the third. And I'm just like, okay. You know, I just always feel like when you do dirt, you should never come out and talk about it because your words will incriminate
come back and haunt you. Yep.
One shape, form, or fashion. So then he's on Vlad TV, and they're interviewing him, and he's like, are you and Meek Mill's friends? Yeah, you know. We getting money in the streets in the dope game. What in the fuck?
Yeah, but again, that goes back to what we're saying. That goes back to bad parenting. That goes back to people not paying attention to their career. That's what people watching too much world star hip hop. Understanding, like, oh, I see people fighting, I'm going to record it. Not understanding that these the district attorneys in a lot of states, most states do have a, what is that thing called, a quality of life law. And I always tell people that funny episode of this, the last episode of the Seinfeld episode where they recorded the guy getting robbed and the cop walked up to the guy and goes, we're charging you because you saw a crime, you didn't do nothing. They not understanding that district attorneys are now, because, again, I know people that are prosecutors, but he said they're actually using those tapes now. And they're getting the person who the person who's assaulting, and they're getting the camera person, and they're charging the camera person for instigation. So that's the same thing that's going on with girls going wild. You know, the camera's on, the girls say, "Oh, pull up, I want to show some boobs," because the camera's instigating them. And that's what's going on with AR. You know, the kids, he put more. They're like, he's well known. He's known in the streets, but. This is a window opportunity for him right now. You know both parties, they won the battle, and this is his way of basically helping the battle go along, because he's a person that both of them respect. So he can push the battle along, and now he can either find out, he may have an angle of how to operate what he's doing. Like, you know, boom, I got this battle going, and boom, I'm going to drop my music right when they're in the middle of the battle, where I'm actually dissing them both. So he probably has an angle on it. And, you know, again, a lot of these media outlets, they just want hits. They're not understanding that, well, they don't even care. I ain't going to say they don't understand. They don't care that the cops are sitting there watching, you know, that they still have hip-hop police, where they got feds watching everything you're doing now. And it's analyzing, checking off, oh, wow, he caught a body. Where? Let's look into this. But they know already. But, you know, then look at, okay, we'll keep checking this off. And checking this off, and we don't really care as long as them dumb niggas killing each other, and just keep checking off the list until, you know, little Johnny in suburbs start wilding out on them. That's when they're gonna really pay attention. Right now, they don't care. So it's like you have an artist who they don't pay attention to the bigger picture. They don't care. Right now, he has an angle of basically taking this beef and battle between them. And he's gonna popularize off of it, and a lot of these sites are only going for hits. They're looking for more hits they get, more advertising dollars they get. These advertisers just want the urban dollar. The urban dollar is the biggest spending dollar on earth. They want that urban dollar. So if they can get into that, they're going to do it. So they're going to give him his 5 minutes of fame, even if it does mean, you know, the person that his family killed at the end of the day gets no justice out of it. And we as a people now understand that you killed another black kid, and you're basically bragging about it.
No shit.
Like, where's the morals? The morals are kind of out the window. And again, that happens with the broken homes. When the homes are broken, the kids are just lost. That's why when guys dating girls and girls get these bum dudes, I'd be like, y'all did it because you fell for it. My daughter would never walk to a dude with his pants when they're out eating. What's your number? My daughter would be like, get out of here, homie. What's wrong with you? I don't do that. I don't do bums. I don't date bums. Pull your pants up. My little brother will even walk with his pants down. Pull your pants up. You want to show your butt? Go YouTube, I like booty. You know, you like your pants on the floor? YouTube that guy in jail, I like booty, and see what he says. He told me, when you come to jail, I want to see some booty. And I'm getting that booty. That's booty in jail is more valuable than money. See, that's the problem. That's what happens when you get the scared straight. And that's what happened when we lose our homes. You need that at home. Somebody, you know, you go out in the street, somebody's going to wire your jaw shut, so you show some respect to people. You know how to carry yourself as a man. And if you carry yourself like that, you won't be on these sites broadcasting eight felonies. Like, who would want to – how embarrassing G. Depp looks right now knowing that he's in jail for 15 years because he just went and – I mean, if somebody died, I'm sad for that. But at the same time, like – he's now sitting there like, do I really regret coming out forth and just admitting that I killed somebody? And the cops called me on it, and I kind of admitted to it, and now I'm in jail. And then he tried to recant that, and they're like, nah, dude, it's too late now. Bye, G-Dep. Join the Bad Boy, the Bad Boy Records entourage of locked up and broke artists. Now, well, what did G-Dep get, 20 years?
I think what they said, if you do a 15?
15, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, 15, right?
Something like that. But again, there you go. Bye.
But then that's what probably have all this publishing and all that.
And exactly, and that's what happened to artists like Arab. That's what's going to happen to artists like that, because they're going to find something else on you, and they're going to pin that on you.
Yeah.
And if you, they're going to be like, dude, you're just giving them ammunition. All these jails need is a body. They don't care who the body is, they just want you in there. And if your music can lead you to it, you can hear artists today. Remember there was an artist who rapped about eating somebody, and they charged him? I think he was in San Francisco, and it turned out he actually did eat somebody? Look it up. Rapper talks about cannibalism, gets locked up. Like, dude, these fans are listening to your music. Make sure your music has content on it that somebody wants. Find a niche in your music, like E-40. E-40 is 40. Jay-Z's, like, these people have such niches in their market that they control a solid fan base. Tech N9ne, they got niches that they control a fan base where they get a limited cash flow coming in. Tech N9ne makes more rap money than most mainstream artists you would ever see.
Mm.
But he has a niche that people want. And he can travel. He's touring globally on that niche right now. So artists, find something special about your music that makes you stand out. Don't sound like Rick Ross. There's already a Rick Ross. Don't sound like Jeezy. There's already a Jeezy. Be that next artist. Be that next beacon of light. Be that next person that can up in South Carolina, how Petey Pablo came out of nowhere with the North Carolina raise up. Throw your shirt up and flip a leg helicopter.
He might be different.
Be different. Stand out.
Yeah.
Be something. Don't just be one of the eggs in a carton. Be that little brown egg in the car, but they go, how the hell did that get in there? Stand out. And that way your music will last long. You want your music to live longer. You are like Tupac is. Who's watching Gang Related? I was watching Gang Related yesterday. You can hear Tupac music. I'm like, damn, they don't sound a day old.
Right. That's right.
He's been down there in 15 years, and his music don't sound a day old.
And that's the problem with these young kids now. They don't respect the past.
Yeah, they don't respect. Yeah, we were talking about that. Well, hip hop was one of the only music genres where they can't even talk about their legends.
Hmm.
Like, rock can talk about the Elvis and all Chuck Berry's, but you talk about rapper, like, who's hot? Eminem created hip hop? Wow.
Yeah.
For real?
So you have to respect the Meek Mills, like, you know, in his raps, he bigs up Jay-Z on him because he know where he came from.
Right, at least he understands
really?
These things. Like, he's got Rocky, he talks about Big L. Like, man, were you even born when Big L came out? But at least he understands the Papa mixtape.
Yeah, right?
That you understand where you came from. That way you can at least get the respect.
Yep.
And the respect, and now you can take that added to your music and you can develop a stronger brand for yourself.
And these same artists, except the ones, the legends that pass and go on, these same artists that you're bigging up, like the Jay-Z, they'll say, oh, you big me up? I want to do a track with you.
Exactly.
You can't just say you want to do a track with Jay-Z and expect Jay-Z, no matter if you're mainstream or not, and say, I want to do a track with Jay-Z. He ain't going to say, dude, I can't work with you.
Especially if he ain't come with $100,000 for a verse.
You know what I'm saying? For ball. For like that.
Right. And no publishing, and you keep no plans on the record, and you basically just did the record, but you can't even use the record outside of Jay-Z's permission.
Exactly.
But again,
so,
it's a lot for your career, and you know, again, Chalk Mommy, I really appreciate no matter what, even if you get 2-3 artists that can say, you know, I learned something, that's 2-3 artists that say, because you got a lot of people I'm gonna see over the rest of this year, because the first quarter is here now. I know about 6 people who already said they were signed in the fourth quarter. About 2 of them, well, I mean, I know 6 people, but 2 people have already called me because something ain't even right, and I'm like. But if you called, see, this is what you call being a sneak. Because if you was a man, you knew this, you could have called me in advance and said, okay, right, because look at this. I wouldn't have charged you a dime. But now you got your deal. Now something is already not even sounding right, or something ain't working right for you. And I mean, hell, it's still January.
Yeah.
And now you're calling me tomorrow, yo, can I meet up with you for lunch? I told you, I help you for food. You know, I have one person, I'll be honest. You take me to lunch, forget about it. I give you my firstborn. I love to eat for a skinny person. You know, I don't want nobody's money. I don't want nobody's money. I don't want you accidentally writing, I paid you, and I got business for all that.
Yeah.
But what I need you to do is compensate me with food. That's all I want. And now they call me, meet me for lunch. Nah, you passed lunch. As I told you in advance, a while ago, let me know as you do it, and I can guide you through the steps. Now you're already talking about they've been fired, the label done fired your manager. They don't want you using in this studio. They want you using their studio only. And I'm like, but I told you this was going to happen.
And when that bill comes, they're going to be like,
thank you. Because they put you in a $200 an hour spot, homie, because the studio owns it. And they get all their money back.
Yeah, they're going to take out their first project budget.
Yep, they're taking that. Yep, they're going to whip the hell out of that project. And I told you, if you called me in advance, we wouldn't have had this problem. So, again, now I got people, and you know, I'm like, I don't leave them all stuck. But artists, yo, when somebody offers their services, especially if it's for free, dude, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it, especially if a person that has credibility. Don't take advice from a bum, because there's a reason why a bum is a bum. He's a bum. But if a person has credibility, they have respect, they have some type of success, they have a resume you can catch. Like, don't just say the guy said he did it. You can Google somebody. You can Google me. You can say Rikers Stolen Bean or Rikers Rucker. I got Google links. I got interviews. I would get more interviews. I get more interviews than most rappers. Dude, at the end of the day, you can check me out. Make sure the person can be checked on, tracked down. Not like bloggers who talk crap about people and they have no credibility. You don't even know who they are. You can't even find them in the street. But make sure the person can be is reachable, and this person is willing, you know, really wants to help you. You know, everybody don't want to help you, and it's not their job to help you. But if you can find somebody willing to help you, please take that help.
Yep.
We have a caller. Area code 301, the last four of your numbers is 7263. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Y'all nigga, dumb as shit.
Oh, my God. Why do we always got to get the bum-ass white people that are victim of inbreeders, they mom and dad are fucking, and then the dad passes the mother off to the grandmother? Why do they always have to call into my show?
Wow.
Wow. Damn.
What the fuck was that anyway? I missed something. Did I miss something?
No, you didn't. Every now and then, we have retarded white people call in, and they always want to express themselves because they're angry that their parents fucked each other and had an offspring like that.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, don't get mad at me because your mom got whack pussy and your dad decided to fuck somebody else. That's not my problem.
You still got to give them their 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes to vent. I mean, if that would happen to me, I would want somebody to listen. I mean, even though that's why they have to work therapists, they have social workers, and they have psychiatrists. But most people don't understand these services can be used. I mean, you can have Medicaid pays for that, welfare pays for it. I mean, the victim services pay for these programs. So, again, if you have somebody, don't go out and commit suicide or just hate yourself. You know, go get therapy. There's therapy. Hospitals have therapy. They have psychiatrists, and they have all these services for you. There's medication for you. So if you are a victim of inbreeding and things like that, there are programs out there for you to get help. Get a therapist, get some psychiatrist, get on Ritalin. And the inbreeding won't go away, but you can feel proud about being the victim of inbreeding. You know? I mean, for most of you, it's crazy anyway. I mean, that's just who your heritage is. But just understand, like, you know, there's ways around it. You know, get medication and get a therapist, a social worker. Don't turn your head red and just start wilding out in the movie theater and just shoot people because you watched the Batman movie. That just proves you a complete idiot. You know, but he's a gunman. You notice how he was a gunman. Let that have been a brother. Oh, he would have been the worst. He would have been on the cover of every magazine on earth. Shoot up a movie theater, he's the gunman. Oh, good God. I'm like, what? That's not called a terrorist? That's a terrorist in every book I've heard of.
Mm.
mean,
let's talk, mommy. Let's not worry about the. If you got any more callers, give me
everybody
that.
Everybody is just listening tonight. Everybody is just like back on cruise control. They're listening. They back.
I know. I got about 8 texts. I'm like, you know, but again, most people hit me, you know, like, oh, I heard you, I hear the show. I'm like, oh, okay, you could call in if you had that question. Well, I can ask you personally. I was like, oh, okay. Good point. Very good point.
Well, we're at the end of the show because I'm not going to run it late tonight because I'm tired. Tomorrow's show is going to be good because we're going to be talking about how far are you willing to go to attract the opposite sex? And, you know, I did a show on this months ago. And, you know, after Pebbles the model getting arrested for injecting.
Oh, my God. That's so sad.
Yeah, it's to somebody's ass. Because when I got tatted last year, my tattoo artist had a friend that got killed because Pebbles sent her to someone in New Orleans to
right,
get.
You put me on to this. Yeah, you put
yeah.
me on to this story in the first place.
So I'm just like, you know, when you do stuff like that, you do have to, you know what I'm saying? You do have to pay for the wrong shit that you do. Ladies, I don't give a fuck. Ain't no dick out there that good when I'm about to go inject myself with some unnatural concoctions to have a big ass, to make a motherfucker that I may not even be with past the first night happy. If a motherfucker can't accept me and my little ass, fuck them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Men, you know, okay, some men, y'all have stamina, some men don't. And you take Viagra, Cialis to make your dick, you know, work longer and stuff like that. But then when you fuck a bitch like that the first time and she's like, oh, my God, this dick is so good. You fuck me all night. And she catch you when you ain't got the Cialis or then Viagra in you. What the fuck happens then? It's like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, got a point. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I mean, people just do dumb shit for the opposite sex. If a motherfucker can't accept you for what you got and who you are, it's some other people out there that will accept you. Ain't no motherfucker out there worth me putting my health in jeopardy. I will put my health in jeopardy when it comes to my kids, and that's because if you do something to my kids, I'm going to fuck you up. But I'm not going to go out here.
Maybe the plan is they do these things so they don't get caught up with the inbreeding guy.
Mm.
I mean, maybe they grow up with the guys that's inbreeding. They're like, you know what, I got to do something. So I'm gonna put, I don't know how she's going to put semen in her butt, though. But that's another story.
You
but
know
that's
what?
Tomorrow.
I blame men. I blame some men because there are some men that is just so fucking infatuated with fat asses. But my thing is, when a bitch goes out there, and I'm using the term loosely because when you go out there and you get all this shit done to your ass and it's so big, how in the fuck is a motherfucker going to fuck you? Like, that's a whole lot of shit to move.
Easy. He just does what he has to do. But again, that's for tomorrow's episode. Because no matter how big, the hole ain't moving. So you still find the hole, and you find the bullseye, you go for it. But again, that's for tomorrow. But I'll definitely tune in for that one.
Yeah, I mean, I have to do that because people, you're losing your lives over dumb shit. And who, semen in your ass? Like, yo, I just can't even fathom that. Like, what is your ass going to feel like after that? Is it going to be like a big hard spot where she injected you? Like, what?
I don't even think about it. Ugh. Maybe she just see me got into the bloodstream. But again, like you said, a lot of these, the same thing with the music industry. How far are you willing to go for this label deal? You know, I hear you have, I mean, again, we all been in this industry. You hear a lot of strange things happen for some change. And I'd be like, how the hell did this person, I'm like, how did you, did this kid do what? This kid was caught in the bathtub taking in a photo with who? Like, what? Like, oh, my God. Some of the things I've heard and seen, I'm scared. I ain't gonna lie. It scared the hell out of me.
Oh, you haven't heard it.
When I hear some of these industry stories, I'd be like, oh, God, I'm scared. I'm like, how did I get away from all this?
Yeah.
So, again, a lot of people have sold their soul. I mean, we could say Satan, we could call it for anything, but people have sold their soul for the almighty dollar. And I mean, same thing with body parts. So, you know,
Tuesday show was going to be even crazier because Monday there was a shooting near my house, and I stay in the suburbs right now. And, you know, like my daughter calls it, she calls it Crackerville. There was a shooting, and four people were shot, two adults and they were teenagers, you know what I'm saying? The mother and the son died, the boyfriend and the daughter lived. And, you know, it was kind of crazy because when I heard the story, I'm just like, yo, it had to be like somebody white that snapped. Basically, it was a black family. The mother shot her boyfriend, her son, and her daughter, and she shot herself. The boyfriend and the daughter live. The man will never be a man again because he has no male sex. Ain't shit down there. Like, there is nothing down there anymore.
Yeah, it's time for him to be over.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so the mother died and the son died. And word has it that, you know, the boyfriend was sleeping with the daughter. But I have to do some more research. But I'm just like, yo, if you catch somebody slipping or cheating, like, I don't know. I can't see me being that mad where I'm going to take out my whole family. You know what I'm saying? Because I gave birth to my kids. Like, you just don't do that. So now, in Crackerville, they're moving out of the burbs because nothing like that ever happens. And they just don't know, they don't know what to think because it's crazy. And I'm just like, damn.
If he was fucking her daughter, she deserved to get his dick blown off.
He kind of asked for that one.
He had to kill everybody.
Yeah, he had to wild out everybody, but yeah, she had that one coming. But again, Chuck, I gotta make a run.
Oh yeah, go ahead. I'm done. I'll be back.
And everybody, please thank you again for tuning in. Please tune in for more. We're gonna be doing our Sell Your Soul to the Illuminati episode in a few weeks. Have the Chuck Lyman Pitcher together.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, we also about who's who and who's not and, you know, what you have to really fear. But with that, everyone, Captain America is out. Talk to you in a minute. Everybody have a good night.
Good night.
All right, Chuck. All right, take care. I hate you up, right?
All right. Good night, everyone. Make sure y'all tune in tomorrow at 9:30. I'd like to give a special shout-out to Jerry Dolby from Hype Magazine, Rikers, and Aunt from Rutgers and from Saul and Dean. Shout out to my lovely co-host, Ashton. And shout out to everyone that listened. Shout out to Know Your Enemy. Just make sure you guys tune in tomorrow night, 9:30. I love you, and I will be back. Holla.